Amen. Amen. Ooh. Let's feel the presence of God. Ooh. Ooh. One of these days, I'm telling you, I'm not even going to be able to stand. I'm going to fall out in the Holy Ghost. Y'all can join me if you want. Just... God's presence is so sweet. My name is Pastor Harris. I'm the lead pastor here at First Open Bible. It's my honor to stand behind this pulpit humbly to bring God's word to you today. I love it when God uses us in spite of us. Amen? Amen. I wrote something about the women's conference too. I'm so thankful. Pastor Cody and I and Joshua, who's up in the eagle's nest there, we were able to, and Matt, able to help set up and tear down. And it was so wonderful to see 200 plus women worshiping the King together. So wonderful to see people from different cities and states coming together for Open Bible Region. And my wife, she's the leader of the women's ministry in Central Region. She did a fantastic job. Amen. It's a whole nother thing going to a conference. It's a whole nother thing to be in charge of it. And I know she worked and worked and worked, and I know she's probably going to take a nap today in the name of Jesus. A lot of work, but it's for the kingdom. 12 salvations, church. Come on now. Amen. My math might be wrong, but that's a pretty good percentage. Amen? A little over 5%, isn't it? People. People coming. 6%. Exactly. You're right. People coming to a conference that most of the time you'd think, oh, they're just a bunch of Christians. But 6% of the people gave their heart to Jesus Christ for the first time. See, every situation, every place that you go is an opportunity for people to come in contact with the cross. Amen? Amen. Thankful. I'm thankful for a fellowship, a denomination of Open Bible that believes in the moving of the Holy Spirit and the freedom of the Holy Spirit. I believe I'm thankful to be in a church that is very high on holiness, very pressing in into the things of God and seeing that we might be in a world, but we don't want to be of it, that we're supposed to look different, that we're supposed to set ourselves apart because we take God's word literally when it says, when God says, I am holy, for you be holy. When God calls us, see, it's not in us to make us holy, but when we are in God, through Jesus, the righteousness of Jesus throws off our filthy rags and wraps us in clothing of white, pure righteousness. And that's the Jesus we serve. And that we be transformed by the renewing of our mind and by ourselves. We have nothing to give to God or to the world. But in Jesus, all things are possible. Amen? Amen. That's not even the intro. God is ready to give a word this morning. So welcome to the month of April. Somebody said it this morning. I think it was John. He said, April showers bring May flowers. So, amen, amen. As long as April showers don't bring a flood, that just stinks, right? We want a different flood, Holy Ghost. We want the flood of your presence. We want living water, not swimming water, amen. So welcome to the month of April, the month of Palm Sunday, Good Friday, and the greatest day on earth, Easter Sunday, amen. Y'all beat the crowd, you're 2 weeks early. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. This month's theme at First Open Bible is rise up. Rise up. Amen. That just gets you all giddy right there. Just rise up. I want to personally invite each and every one of you. Monday through Friday, we have prayer meetings for an hour in our prayer room. We call the war room. It's our prayer room. You're welcome to come. We have a leader each day there. We also have prayer on Saturday nights at 6:30 in the sanctuary here. And it's an awesome time. We have prayer here every single day of the week because we believe in prayer at First Open Bible. And every month, right before the month comes up, I seek God not only for a direction, but how we aim our corporate prayers. And so I get with those leaders and I usually send them a message, and I wanted to read to you today what I wrote to the prayer leaders last month, or last week for this month of April. Quote, "As I look around the United States, I notice we haven't had a great sweeping move of God since the late 1990s. That was 20 years ago. I don't know exactly what's been crippling the church in America, but I believe this month we're going to speak to it. I'm reminded Jesus spoke to a crippled sick man at the pool of Bethesda. In John chapter 5, verses 8 and 9, Jesus said this. Jesus said to him, 'Rise, take up your bed and walk.' And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. 'Wake up, O sleeper! It's time to rise up and walk. Our King is alive and coming back soon. Let's prepare ourselves and the world for his return.'" End quote. Crazy how I just get on Facebook Messenger and sending a message or text message or whatever, and then the Spirit of God just comes on you and just bam, and I'm like, wow. And this is one of those times that I feel like God just dropped it. Will you open your Bibles to John chapter 5, please? I want us to read one of the stories that I just referenced in John chapter 5. We're going to read the first 9 verses. I'm going to read out of the NLT on this story. John 5, 1 through 9. "Afterward, Jesus returned to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish holy days. Inside the city, near the Sheep Gate, was a pool of Bethesda, with 5 covered porches. Crowds of sick people, blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men laying there has been sick for 38 years. Man, that's 1 year older than me. That's a long time to be sick. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, 'Would you like to get well?' 'I can't, sir,' the sick man said, 'for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me.' Jesus told him, 'Stand up, pick up your mat and walk.' Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking." King James Version in verse 8 says this, "Jesus saith unto him, 'Rise, take up thy bed and walk.'" We notice a lot of things in this story. Sick man had an excuse. First, Jesus, it says this. It said, when Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time. It also says that the sick man had an excuse. He expected a certain process to happen to see results. And Jesus came in and interrupted the norm and healed the man. What kind of excuses have we given as a church to not see a genuine move of God happen? To see a real healing happen? You don't think Jesus knows that we might be sick? What kind of excuses have we given as a church? Are we like this sick man where we just expect someone else to pick us up and take us where we should be because there's something that's crippling us? What are we doing in our daily routine of Christianity that God must, say must, church, interrupt so he can heal us, so we can rise up and walk? Oh man, does the church need a message like this? Amen. Lord, will you please speak to us through your Holy Spirit? I want us to pray again. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for this word that you gave me that I believe is prophetic, speaking to things as if they should be, not as if they are. God, may you break the things in the church that are not looking like you. Heal us, God. Let us rise up. Speak to us. Our church needs you, God. The world, the lost world needs you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's define church for a moment. When I talk about a congregation of people that meet and worship together on a regular basis, that's a church. Okay? Y'all, a church. This is a church right now. But the church or the body represents all people who worship Jesus throughout the whole world, our Savior and our Lord. This morning, I want to talk to more than just the First Open Bible church congregation, a church. I want to talk to the church. I want to speak directly to the American church. Can I do that this morning? Here's the thing, though. It speaks to all of us. Y'all Americans? You live in America? This speaks directly to all of us who follow Jesus. So the world that we live in seems to be a world of conflict and turmoil. It seems to try to daily threaten the promise that we have of our wholeness, the promise of our joy, the promise of peace in our life. There's times in church history it appears we were just surviving. There's even periods that feels like we were just existing. But those church times are ending. Can I prophesy for a moment? The times of miracles, signs, and wonders are on the horizon. It's time to awake from the slumber and thrive, church. The times are here where God's Spirit must interrupt our norm to strengthen us to rise up and walk on this earth. A time for His glory to reign again. Can you give Him a hand clap? Amen. Amen. Will you go a few more chapters over in your Bibles? If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. We're going to Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, that's where we're going to spend most of our time this morning. If you don't have a Bible, it's either in front of you, underneath you, I mean, in the front row, or it's behind, in front of you, if you're not sitting in the front row. If you didn't bring a Bible, look on your phone, look at your neighbor, or look behind me. I'm going to read this out of the New King James Version this morning, Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 10. I want to read another story about a crippled man that was healed at a gate called Beautiful. And let me tell you, this gate called Beautiful has never been so beautiful except on this day. Let's start, verse 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple of the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms, that's money, from those who entered the temple, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him. And immediately his feet and ankle bones, snap, 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 received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Who did that this morning walking into church? Did you leap? Did you praise this morning walking into church? This guy did. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. What an awesome story, amen? Think about this for a moment. Think about this. Peter, right? Peter's one of my favorites. Because Peter is exactly who I used to be. Loud mouth, don't you think before you talk. You should get punched in the face for some of the stuff you said. Kind of guy, right? He's just so bold and he just says stuff, but he doesn't think before he speaks. He should have read the scrolls of Proverbs, amen? They were available, Peter. So think about this. Remember Peter, the "get behind me, Satan" guy that Jesus spoke to? You know, the one that denied knowing and walking with and loving Jesus three times before the rooster crowed while the Savior Jesus was being persecuted and while he was getting beat? You know, the guy that ran when Jesus died on the cross and he went back to the old ways of living because that was his norm and it was comfortable and it was safe for him? You remember that guy, Peter? You remember him, church? It's good. If you don't, he's in the Gospels, and then he stars a lot into the book of Acts. So you'd be glad to read about him. He's pretty amazing. See, all that happened until Jesus spoke to Peter and said, "Rise up, for you are the rock I will build my church on." And then Peter believed it, and then he did it. See, Jesus put strength back into the crippled parts of Peter by this. In John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, again he said, "Peace be with you. And the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you." Then he breathed on him and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." You see, everything. Church, say everything. Everything will rise up when you allow Jesus to interrupt our norm and let him breathe Holy Spirit life back into us. But right now, let Jesus speak to those things that are inside of you that need to rise up. I'm not talking about dead things. I'm talking about things that have been crippled, probably by your own mindset that you like to blame on the devil, but it's really you. Those kind of things. Let Jesus speak to it right now, because it must rise up. Because if it does, church, if it does, just like it did for Peter, think about all the other people around you that will rise up with you. And then they will follow you into God's temple like this man did, and they will worship with you. This is what I love about John chapter 5 and Acts chapter 3. See, John chapter 5 is the crippled sick man at the pool of Bethesda that Jesus spoke to. And then there's Acts chapter 3 where the crippled man at the gate called Beautiful, where Peter and John were there. See, this shows us exactly how we should be this day. Jesus shows us, the church, how to do what his Father has sent him here to do. That was John chapter 5. And then the followers of Jesus, the church, if that's you, say hallelujah, are to do the same thing that he did, and our example of what could really happen was found in Acts chapter 3. See, Jesus shows us how, and we observe. And then he fills us with his Spirit after we accept Jesus Christ into our life, and then we get the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then when that happens, we do it, and Jesus observes. See, that's the perfect example of discipleship. Right now is not necessarily discipleship. One of these days, I'm telling you, I'm going to walk out here. I'm going to say, "Everybody, follow me." And we're going to go out and we're just going to preach to our neighbors. See, that's going to be the best thing maybe I've ever done as your pastor. Is to show you how to do it. And you follow me. See, Paul said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Too many spectators, church. Too many spectators. We need participators. See, this is the perfect example of discipleship. What a great example of what a follower of Jesus should look like. What a great example of how the church should still look like. Peter and John, they were disciples. They were followers of Jesus. And they're a part of the first generation of church leadership. Let's look at what Peter and John did after Jesus helped them rise up. We're going to break down some of the verses that we just read in Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to keep going with the New King James Version. What's in front of you, if you picked up a Bible in the pews, that's NLT. Let's start with verse 1. "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour." So we see in verse 1 that Peter and John were being obedient with their time. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon as they were headed to a prayer meeting. I want to ask you a couple questions. Do you think that God likes to use people who are obedient? What do you think? Yes? Do you also think that God likes to use followers that value time spent in prayer? I do too. Let's move on to verse 2. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms for those who entered the temple. So Peter and John were on their way to worship at the temple, right? They were on a mission. They were headed somewhere. It wasn't something bad in their life. They were actually doing something great. They were going to worship with other fellow believers, part of the church. They were going there to a prayer meeting until they saw a crippled man. See, Jesus often uses people who can be interrupted. Let me say that a little better. Jesus uses people who choose to be interrupted. He uses people who are open to the opportunity for things to rise up in Jesus' name. Now, a lot of you come late to church, like I don't know, okay? Y'all trickle in. It's 10:30. It's the time to start. 10:30. See, if you're late because you minister to some, that's good. Amen? Sometimes being interrupted is a good thing. When we be careful, we got to be very careful to not claim Christianity while ignoring the interruptions in our lives to minister. Let me say that again. We have to be careful not to claim Christianity while ignoring the interruptions in our lives to minister. Because God uses those who recognize and those who discern opportunities to minister in His name. And if you look in God's Word, right? Got to look in God's Word. If you look in there, many times miracles occurred during times of interruption. Let's go to verses 4 and 5. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." He gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Everyone expects to receive something. Every person on this planet likes to get something. Amen? We like to be blessed. People receive blessings and they like it no matter what stage of life they are in, and this man was no exception to that. He looked to get something from these men of God. All right, these next few verses I really, really, really want to focus on this morning. So if y'all tuned out, tune in right now. Amen. This is so important. See, this is speaking directly to the American church of today, because this church needs to rise up. Verse 6. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." But isn't that just like our culture has taught us? And isn't that just like what the church has followed and done? We just throw money at our problems. And maybe they'll go away. We often feel accountable for a situation in our life, but instead of using God's power, we use the man's power. We just throw money at it. We just throw medicine at it. We just throw advice at it. We throw alcohol. We throw drugs. We throw sex. We throw whatever at it. But guess what? Nothing rises up from it. Many people are willing to put money in the offering, but the number is much lower who will offer their hands to do God's work that money was put in there for. This is a great plug. We need more children's workers. Moving on. But have we fallen in love with a temporary release of responsibility? Have we fallen in love with a quick fix? Have we fallen in love with a sufficient little Band-Aid? When people have gaping wounds. Peter and John chose not only to acknowledge the need and acknowledge the person. Those are important. Don't always equate the person with the need. They're separate. That's a person. That's somebody Jesus died for, and they might have a need. They might have an issue. They might have a problem. Don't link them together and just label that person. See, they not only acknowledged the need, and they also acknowledged the person, but they did something about it. They did something about it with the love and the power of Jesus Christ. I wonder. Will you wonder with me for a moment, church? I wonder what the world would look like on the corners of our streets if the church offered less money and more powerful, compassionate prayer. Less silver and gold and more rise up and walk. Begging man was asking for one thing, but he really needed to receive another thing. How many people does the church pass every day that is asking for one thing, but they need something else that we have? I've got good news, church. Jesus loves to use people who know the source that's inside of them. I say it to you almost every Sunday as you go. What do I say? Change the world, church. For the world changer lives in you. I don't say that lightly. It's on purpose. Move to verse 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet pop, pop, his ankles, poof, poof, and bones receive strength. This man has never walked in his life. He was born crippled. An instantaneous one word, one touch from Jesus. And he walks, what? Woo. Tell me that don't happen and you won't have church right wherever you're at. Tell me that won't happen. I'm telling you, that's what the world needs. Rise up. But this is not an easy thing to do for a church that's crippled by something. And a lot of people walking in and out, oh, miss it. Unless you like the podcast. See, it's not an easy thing to do for a church that's crippled by something. We've been crippled not since birth, but more like this man that we found in John chapter 5. See, it's as if an accident or a sickness has happened to us, church. It's as if we're crippled like the invalid that Jesus healed in John chapter 5. There seems to be something that is preventing us from getting up and walking. See, we just keep preaching and we keep preaching, but what is happening in America right now? Where is the church? Where is the church? What broke our legs? What sickness has taken over our body? I think there's a reason why the American church has not walked like it should as of late, and this is the word I feel like I got from the Lord. I believe we've been enslaved. We've been crippled by what seems to be the normal way of life as a believer in America. See, this is what I'm about to speak to. This is why I think far too many lost souls look to the church only for a hand out instead of a hand up. Where did the faith walkers go? Where did the miracle speakers go? Where did the healing ministers go? Where did the Bible believers go? Where did the authentic, humble, unashamed ministers of the gospel, where did they go? You know, you can get your ears tickled even from the pulpit. And I think far too long in America that's happened. And we've been advised by God's word to be aware of that. But yet there's preachers every day speaking to congregation and tickling their ears, making them feel good. Who in here has been a Christian longer than 20 years? 20 years or longer, raise your hand. Amen. Good. I'm going to talk to you for just a moment. Because you're going to know exactly what I'm about to speak to. The rest of you might know, but I'm going to speak to something. Amen? Amen? Did the last 40 years heart. I got saved in 1996. I've seen far too much of this stuff. In the last 40 years of the American charismatic circus of big hair, big mansions, money embezzlement, sex scandals, swindlers, and fake fundraisers, did it silence the Spirit of God in our nation? Did it silence the Spirit of God in our church? If so, God, we repent. We need your real, powerful, incredible, life-changing Spirit to fill our churches again. Brent, where you at? 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I, God, will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. We were just singing that. We were prophetically, of all scripture, singing that earlier. Got to talk to it. I know you might not feel a little uncomfortable now, but here you go. Your secret sin that you think nobody knows about, that secret pride that you have, God knows. And if you don't give it to him, he will not take you to that next level, that next step. He will not. Why? Forgive me, God. Why? Because you won't be able to contain it. God's pure spirit cannot be mixed with evil nastiness. And for far too long in church, there's been bitter and there's been pure water coming from the pulpit. When a preacher can get up and preach God's word and then sleep with the congregation, shame on us. Shame on us. And then in a congregation or with God's people who said, oh, I believe in God's word all the time, but then you rely every day on everything about doctors, but you don't ever pray about it. What is going on in our nation? Preach for a moment. I'm not mad at you. God's not mad at you. But I must say something about it from the pulpit. I must expose it. God loves to expose things. Not because he's ashamed, but because darkness must flee when light comes in. He wants to forgive us. But we cannot be forgiven like we just read unless we confess our sins and we truly repent. God, we have done you an injustice in America. We have relied on you from 1776 all the way until I don't know how long. We founded even our government on you. We founded our laws on you. And then we fall apart. Why? 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 So we can be relevant? Because we don't want to stand on moral absolutes and truths because it might hurt someone's feelings? Jesus didn't go to the cross to make people friends of his. He came to the cross to make disciples of his. We need a real church. We need a real church. Today, this morning, I love seeing you. But what makes you the church is your relationship with Jesus. And if you ain't right with Him right now, here's an opportunity. Get right with Him right now, because I truly believe through me He's speaking to you, because He loves you. All those things in your mind and those wrong mindsets that must be broken, all that pride and insecurity and whoever you think you are, I'm a man, I can do whatever I want. No, you ain't a man, you're a child. A real man says, I was wrong, forgive me. A woman looking to a man all the time for whatever, man, look to Christ. You run toward Jesus, and when you're running hard enough that you are satisfied, look over. If there's a man there, then maybe he's the one. Quit looking backwards. Quit looking backwards for somebody. Amen? Y'all receive that too. All parents love me right now. And that ain't happening in high school. Okay? Or definitely not in junior high. Amen. Make friends. Make friends. Church, we got to speak to it. I come to you right now, humble. I am not a perfect man. I am not. I got insecurities. I got problems. I got issues. I got things that I bring before the Lord all the time. But when I say, God, I don't need you, when I say, God, I got this, something wrong with me. And I feel for far too long, the American church has said, Jesus, we got this. Prosperity message. Everybody gets a Bentley in Jesus' name. What? How does that honor God at all? Last time I remembered, the first church gave all their possessions together for the glory of God and to see the gospel go forth. But we're hoarders. We're hoarders all the time. No, that's mine. You, the only reason why you got anything is because God's given it to you. To the very breath in our lungs, He allows me to breathe. He allows me to preach right now. It's God's glory that must be lifted high. I'm going to go back in one of the things I wrote. See, this is why I think far too many souls in America are looking to the church only for a handout instead of a hand up. I want to speak to a few things. And if that's you today, I want you to do something for me. See, I think that's another problem. It's awesome to read God's word. It's better to a lost world to be God's word. But so many, it's like, oh, yep, make it an hour, check it off my list, then I can go back to my life, going to church, reading my... I've seen a couple movies lately, and there ain't a movie that's less than 2 hours, but we complain that the church is an hour and a half long. I don't get it. It's priorities. And I'm not just talking about Sunday morning. I'm talking about church in your life, that you would rather sit down and have a Netflix marathon, but you haven't opened your word in 2 weeks. Why do we not see life in America? Because we have lifeless churches that have priorities all mixed up. So if this is you today, and I'm just going to talk to a few things, if that's you today, when you raise your hand, this is like an international sign of surrender. And when you raise your hand, it's saying, I'll receive it. And when you raise your hand, it's saying, God, do this in my life. So that's all I want to ask you to do. If I say something that resonates with your spirit, maybe it's your first time at a Pentecostal charismatic church. What we do at Pentecostal charismatic church is we allow the spirit to move. Now, I grew up in a... And there's nothing wrong with that. I grew up in a Methodist church that was very, very quiet and very holy in the reverence. And I think a lot of times, charismatic churches, Pentecostal churches, we can learn from them. Because far too long, we're like gunslingers. Wow, wow, west, you know. Da-da-da, instead of like the reverence of God. But one thing that we do love, that I love connecting with, is that we're more than just head knowledge, not saying that Methodists are, but that we have connected head and spirit, you know, mind and soul. We've connected these things together. And so if you hear an amen, amen means I agree, right? You say hallelujah, that's the highest praise. We're praising God for the things that he's saying in church. So I love that because it's active and it's alive. And that's exactly how I think God wants us to be. He wants a church that's alive and active and that's real and not withholding anything from him, but giving him all that they are. Because when you do that, then God can truly use you. I'm going to speak to something. So if that's you, just you can say an amen. Put your hand up. You can just do whatever it is that resonates in your spirit. I want to speak to the American church. It's time to rise up, church. No more begging. Let the Lord strengthen your legs so you can walk in the Spirit with boldness, freedom, and with His authority. Rise up from your physical and spiritual deprivation. For our God is alive, and the Spirit that raised Him from the dead lives in you. So we've got to act like it. Rise up from shackles. Rise up from your addictions. Rise up from self-love. Rise up from the love of money. Rise up from sickness. Rise up from defeat. Rise up from fear. Rise up from rejection and approval. Rise up from anger. Rise up from anxiety and depression. Rise up from pain and unforgiveness. Rise up from wrong mindsets. Rise up from religious activities. Rise up from comfort. Rise up from apathy. Rise up from your slumber. Rise up from the ashes. Church, rise up. Pick up your mat and walk. In 2 weeks, we're going to celebrate the greatest power known to the universe. Resurrection power. I want to keep reading. I'm about to close. All right? It's my first closing. All good Pentecostal preachers have two or three good closings. I should really write my sermon. It says conclusion one, conclusion two. Conclusion three says, move with the Holy Ghost. Okay. I thought it was, but all right. So here is the resurrection power. See, this is the resurrection power that the crippled world can receive from a risen church. Verses 8, 9, and 10 in Acts chapter 3 that we were just reading. So he, the beggar, the guy at the gate called Beautiful, the one that has been not able to even stand since birth, the crippled man. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them. That's key. With them. Walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people who saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Paul talks about it, but I believe we are in the last days. I do. I know that's been preached since 2,000 years ago when Jesus said, watch for me. I get that. I get that. The signs are lining up. It's really kind of cool. You know what's cool about this Bible? It's not just history. It's our history. It's the past history. And it has the future. And you can literally read it and go, oh my goodness, that is happening right now. But one of the things that Paul talks about is he said, I don't need to preach with eloquent words. I don't need to preach with this. But what I do need to do, and see, he's talking to the world out there, and he's talking to the church, and he's definitely talking to the American church. See, I can write a nice sermon, right? I can use all my intellect that I have. I can really, really study. I can look up words that I can barely pronounce, but they're going to make you go, ooh, wow, right? I could do that. I could do that. But just like Paul said, it's not with eloquent words that the world and even the church needs to hear. It's with power and demonstration that people will come to Jesus. But it's been about 20 years since we've seen a real move of God in America. 20 years. That's older than every single person sitting over here. They have never experienced a great move of God in their lifetime. They hear people talk about it. They maybe read things about it, but they've never experienced it. I'm not okay with that. The American church shouldn't be okay with that. Then we wonder why the... What generation are you called? Z? Yeah? Okay. And then we're millennials. I'm the very beginning of millennials. We wonder why millennials and Generation Zs, oh, they're just... Something wrong with those kids. That's because they've never seen a move of God. That's because they've never heard true preaching from a pulpit. That's because all they believe in is prosperity. And what is prosperity to the church? It's just like the world. It sounds exactly the same. You just put God's stamp on it somewhere. Why do they not follow Jesus? Why are they all over him? Why is everything relative to them? Because we haven't stood on moral absolutes. We haven't taught them. It says in God's word that you pass God's things, everything that God is, from generation to generation to generation. If you're over the age of 80, you'd be speaking to people that are 50 and older. If you're over 50, you'd be talking to people 20 and older. And if you're 20 and older, talk to kids even like my son's age who's 6. We have to pass these things down from generation to generation. But for far too long, we haven't been passing anything other than our own complaints. But the world needs a risen church, just like we saw, where people who don't know any different, laying, begging, asking for something, but we have something else. These people are waiting, and they're said, I just need some alms. I just need something the world has. Well, I don't got what the world has. I got something greater. Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. Not in my name, but by the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. Be changed for eternity. See, Peter and John not only understood this resurrection power, but they walked in it. That's what's important. That's what's so important. That's what I believe has crippled us. That's the sickness I believe that has spread since I've known Jesus. The resurrection power only comes from a living God. And I'm here to say, Jesus, he is alive. Jesus is alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive in me. He's alive in you. And he's alive in the church. Amen. Worship team, I'll have you come up in a second. Just when I'm praying, sometimes you find your way up here. But right now, I want you to keep listening. I don't want you to miss out. You don't have to go secret tunnel way. Just come on up. Right? You ever see them? They disappear and they miss like the first 10 things I say. And I'm like, you guys don't even know where I'm at right now. There's a secret tunnel somewhere having a meeting. Lord, we are desperate. You're desperate. We need your magnificent manifestations of your Holy Spirit again. We need your anointing to revive your church in America again. Will you do that, God? Will you humble us, Father? Will you forgive us, Father? Will you see our repentant hearts right now, Father? Will you do something different? May you break the norm of our normal American Christianity so we can rise up. May you do that, God. May you do that. May you do that. May you do it now. May you do it now. May you do it now. Just spend time with God right now. Spend time with him. Talk to him. Ask him. You've never prayed before in your life. It's literally like if you and I are about to talk when I go to the back and I say goodbye to you. Just talk to him. Say, God, I don't know what that man is screaming about. Something in me is different, and I want that. Whatever it is, make it real. as I've searched the world, I found different powers, but nothing in me rises up. If anything, I fall flat. If there's anybody in here today, first I want to ask about salvation. If there's anybody in here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior, has not followed a life led by God, one that has fallen the world and maybe knows different, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard the gospel preached from God's word. If that's you today and you don't know this Jesus, with every head bowed and eyes closed, will you raise your hand? I want to just acknowledge you. That's you right now. I don't see any hands yet, so make sure I get you. Is there anyone that's never given their heart to Christ? We'll do rededications in a moment. See that hand? That's a rededication. Is there anyone else that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior that would like to give their life to God? Here's an opportunity. God's word says we're not promised tomorrow. This may be the only sermon you hear. It might be the last one. It might be one in 10,000. I hope it is. If that's you today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, just raise your hand. I just want to acknowledge you. That's it. Okay. That's good. Christians, believers, the church, a church. Talking to you right now. If there's anything in you, now I'm not talking about dead things. See, dead things don't rise up. They have to be resurrected. But Jesus said things that were crippled, things that were sick, things that existed in you at one point, but something happened to them. And a lot of times that something is us. We have fallen in love with the world or the mindset of the world or even our own feeble mindsets, but we haven't relied on God. And we're so nervous to pray for people. We're so nervous that we're going to get something wrong. Whatever it is that you think you disqualify yourself for, whatever it is that you're going through, sickness. You got sickness in your body. If you have some sort of unforgiveness in your life, if you have this shame on your life, you're really battling something in your life. Whatever it is right now, I'm going to ask you to literally rise up. Will you stand as I pray for you? You need something in you to rise up. Rise up now. Rise up. Church, rise up. We need a living, breathing, filled in the presence of God, Holy Ghost, fire seeing, faith walking, spirit led church. And you can't do that if something in you has not been risen. Do me a favor before I'm done. Lift your hands to heaven real quick. Surrender. Receiving. Right now. Amen. Giving you a little time to talk to him. Focus on that thing. Focus on that thing that needs to be risen. Focus on it. Focus on it. That secret sin, focus on that. That's the shackle that's keeping you bound. Focus on that mindset that you constantly have, that you knew it's been passed maybe from generation to generation, and you believed it in yourself, and you think that it's okay, but you know God doesn't, but you keep burying that further and further. That mindset, that thing that you think is okay, that is right now your shackle that has crippled you for far too long. You haven't had a relationship with God for a while because you believe that instead of believing in God. And you said out of your own mouth, and maybe you even have a t-shirt that says all things are possible to those who believe in him, but you don't even actually believe your own shirt, your own writing. You don't even believe that own thing that you have. But right now, something gonna rise up in you. Everyone with their hands raised, receive this. God in heaven, we come to you right now, humble before you. And we ask that whatever is dead, will it rise again with your resurrection power? But whatever is crippling us, whatever's making us sick, whatever stopped us from receiving all that you have for us, all that you have, that we think that maybe you're not around, but really you've already asked us to get rid of it and we haven't, or something's happened to us that we just can't shake in our life, whatever it is that's just holding us in this bondage, God is going to break the chains right now. God's going to break that lock on the prison you've been living in. He's going to shake the foundations of that prison right now. Receive. Receive it. God says it's time to rise up and walk, not in your power, but in His. Not in your strength, but in His. Not with your own forgiveness, but with His. Not with your own guilt to be washed as white as snow, but with His blood that's going to wash you as white as snow, that none of that's going to happen right now. I pray for the helmet of salvation that Jesus Christ is putting on you right now, that helmet. Take away all those mindsets. Break it right now in the name of Jesus. It's not okay. You will not be like this forever. That is not God's word. Speak another curse like that and may God shut your mouth for 3 days. Speak life into your situation. Speak God's word into your situation. Break bondage right now, 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 right now. We have prayer teams. Will you just go ahead as we just go to the sides? There's going to be 2 prayer teams on each side. And as we leave today, we're going to sing one more worship song before we go and change the world, because the world changer does live in you if Jesus Christ is your Lord and you follow Him. We got 2 teams on each side. Everything you say to them is confidential. Unless it's life-threatening, then they'll tell me and we'll go from there. But anything you say, whatever you need to rise up in you, you got to go to somebody. It says in God's word, do we have one more team over here? I think we're going to need it. Thank you. Whatever's in you that needs to rise up, it says in God's word, where 2 or more are gathered in His name, He's with us. But it also says that 1 can send 1,000 angels to flight, but 2 can send 10,000. It also says to bear one another's burdens. It also says to come together and share one another your sins, and God will forgive you. It talks about how important it is to pray with one another, and that's what we're going to do. If you need prayer today as we sing this last song, feel free to come up. And if not, you worship like you never worshiped before. You give God praise like you've never given Him praise before, because whatever was holding you down, believe it by the blood and the power of Jesus that is broken, and that something in you has rose up in Jesus' name, that you're going to go today and be a different person, because that different person is who God needs you to be, because it's in Him and not in you. We love you in Jesus' name. Come to praise and worship tonight if you can make it. Amen.